We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the help of the Holy Spirit available to all of us, especially in times of weakness. You say we should come to you boldly, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let that be everyone's portion this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. Now, today I want to continue sharing with you what's different here. The light, something, what's different? Oh, you're further back. Give me more space or what?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start dancing shortly. All right. Amen. Number 11. We're talking about how to diagnose proud speaking. How to identify proud speaking. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that some of you have been here and you've been following this message on pride. Amen. Amen. And we know that this is very important because the Bible says God resists proud people, isn't it? God resists the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Amen. Now, which side would you rather be? It says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Which of those two groups would you rather belong to? The proud who are being resisted by God, or the humble who are receiving grace from God? Which group would you like to be in? Are you sure? Are you sure? See by hand how many would like to be with the humble. Okay. What about those who would like to be among the proud or lead the proud? All right. They didn't come to church. All right. Amen. So if we want to get rid of pride in us, then we need to learn as much about it as possible. Amen. Pride is an insidious enemy. You cannot easily recognize its presence. In fact, most of the time, when people say you're proud, your response is me? No, I'm humble, isn't it? Most of the time, we all think that we are humble. Even the most proud among us still present ourselves as the most humble. Do you see? Present ourselves as most humble. It's only one person. I remember one time, a long time ago, I met a man who was really arrogant, and he was sitting somewhere and, you know, very angry. And then we were trying to talk to him to cool down. Then he said to us, "Listen, as for me, I'm poor, but very, very proud." He said, "Listen, I am poor, but I'm very, very proud." You see, I think that he was just telling us just how it goes, that pride will bring you down. A man's pride will bring him very low. Hallelujah. But when you're humble, God will lift you up and God will raise you up. Amen. Amen. And if somebody must raise you up, let it be God. Amen. Don't let it be a man. Because a human being raising you up will take just another human being to set you down. Do you see? But when God lifts you up, no man can pull you down. Hallelujah. When God sets you up and God decides that you're going to do well, no man can set you down. When we were kids, I remember that one of the ways they kept us out of the jar, and especially the jam jar, you know, the jam. And the way they kept us out of it was one of my uncles would just close it and shut the lid tight. And they'd leave it right in front of you. Yeah. They didn't hide it. It was right there. But this one uncle of mine, his job was to just tighten the lid. And so when my mother was through with it, then she would set it before my uncle, and my uncle would take it and he would just, yeah, and leave it right there. And that secured it. You had no way of getting inside because uncle has shut the thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, sometimes when God himself has just taken whatever it is that you're trying to get into and he has closed the lid and tightened it like that, your connections, your efforts, your struggles cannot get you inside there. Because God is the one keeping you out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must be careful that we don't get on the wrong side of God. Because God clearly has two sides. God gives grace and God resists. Most of us think of God only as a giver of grace. Is it not true? Yes. We think of God only as a helper of people. Only as a, if there's a word, like a blesser of people, you know. We think of God only as someone who's helping people. That's the reason why sometimes, especially when there's tragedy and, you know, difficulties like that with people, people get mad at God because they just feel that God is just in the business of helping. You know, God just helps people, you see. So even people who don't care about God start expecting him to help. Because that's what you do. Are you getting it? Yeah, they curse him all day, but if they're in trouble or in some difficulty, they expect him to show up. And if he doesn't show up, he gets into more trouble with them. Do you get it? They become more determined not to serve him. They become more determined to hate him because he didn't come through for them. But as you can see, God, he is a giver of grace, and that is true. But God is also a resister of proud people. Amen. So let's not get on the wrong side of God by being proud. Hallelujah. Now, one of the ways to determine or detect pride in yourself is just to listen to yourself talk. And that's what we're doing. We're studying how to diagnose proud speaking, isn't it? We're studying the book, Those Who Are Proud. And if you don't have a copy, I really encourage you to see Lady Pastor Quele after the service and get your own personal copy of how Those Who Are Proud, which is part of the Loyalty and Disloyalty series. Amen. So number 11 is statements that mock and laugh at other people. Statements that mock and laugh at other people. That is one of the ways you know or detect proud speaking. If you're fond of laughing at people and mocking at people, often because maybe things did not turn out well for them, or perhaps they have not experienced what you have experienced. If you laugh at people, you are proud. Amen. Amen. See, there are people whose job it is to make us laugh. They are called comedians, isn't it? Yeah. When you laugh in response to comedy, you're not laughing at them. You're actually laughing with them. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not mocking them. But there's a different kind of laughter where someone's tragedy and someone's life and someone's misfortune and someone's twisted life becomes comedy to you. Something that someone is not laughing about. Do you see? You are laughing at the person. You are mocking at the person. And it's usually because you are not in that same situation. Because you haven't experienced that, because you haven't suffered that. And you kind of feel superior to the person. And it affords you mockery. It affords you going around telling their story. It affords you, sharing the story, gossiping about them and, you know, talking about their situation and laughing and saying it serves them right. You know, you are rejoicing at the evil that has happened to the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Two people are in a relationship and the relationship doesn't work out and you hear about it. Then you make it your personal vision to let as many people know about it as possible. And with each announcement, with such laughter, you get it, and such mockery, like, you are laughing at the person because of his misfortune or her misfortune. You know, maybe you told them not to do it and they did it. Or maybe you think it should have been you, and it was not you. So whatever it is, it has failed, and it serves them right, or it is just as you said it would be, and it's good for them, and then you start to laugh. That is proud speaking. Hallelujah. And God is not happy with such things. You know, there are some things you hear, you don't repeat. Do you see what I'm saying? You hear it. Or maybe it's told to you. But you make it your aim not to repeat it. You don't want to be the bearer of such news. Somehow people are going to hear it anyway. But you just don't want to be the one to announce it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let people hear it whenever they hear it. But you don't want to be the one to announce it. Some things are so painful for people. You know, you see someone going through a divorce. You know, it's very painful. Divorce is painful regardless of who initiates it. And it's painful for both people. You see, if you take a loaf of bread and you pull it apart, you get jagged edges on both sides. There's nothing like one side is smooth and the other side is rough. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So when something that is together is pulled apart, whether intentionally, accidentally, purposefully, whatever, it's painful. It hurts. And you hurt people more when you make that your story. And you go around sharing such stories. Someone is in a job and he's fired. When he's fired, you hear about it. And you start to laugh at them. Somehow, somewhere within you, you're happy that they're fired. And it's a basis for rejoicing inside you somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. That's mockery. That is scorning at people. And it's a sign of pride. Hallelujah. You know, David had an enemy. David in the Bible, you know, Saul set himself to fight against David. You know, he wanted to kill David. And eventually Saul died because you don't kill people that God has anointed. Do you see? So, somebody came to tell David that Saul and his son, Jonathan, had both died in the war. And the person had come to tell David because he thought David would like to hear such a thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you know something and you know who would like to hear such a thing. Isn't it? Yeah, that's the foundation of most gossips. It's like you know someone You know who would love to hear this? This will feed them really well. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So this person made his way to the king's palace, and he told the king, I've come with very special news, very important news. 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Let's just read it real quick. You know, it says that somebody, David said unto him, from whence cometh thou? This is first. Okay, let's start from verse 2. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp of Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said to him, whence cometh thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, and he saw me, and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said again unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. Do you see? The guy said, I did him a favor, and I killed him. You know, that's assisted suicide, right? He said, I did him a favor and I killed him because I was sure he wasn't going to make it anyway. You see? And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was upon his arm and have brought them hither to my Lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, and for the Lord, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. So verse 13, David said to the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. You see, yeah. This is after David had finished mourning. I'm sure by this time the guy was confused because he thought David should be rejoicing and should be excited that, look, this guy who was pursuing you, who wanted to kill you, now he's dead and I'm the one who killed him. You know, actually he had probably come to report himself for a handsome reward. Do you see? Yeah. So he says, the young man said, he asked him, where's art thou? He said, I'm a son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? You know. And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head. For thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. You know, it's like you've killed God's anointed, you know, and you are proudly saying it, you know. So he said in verse 17, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son, right? Verse 19, it says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places, And verse 20 is the verse you should see. It says, tell it not in Gath. And then it says, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Hallelujah. He said, this is a tell it not. Don't say this anywhere. This is disgraceful. This is because this man who has died used to be the king. He is the Lord's anointed. And for him to die such a shameful death, and even for a stranger like you to have access to him and to just kill him like that, you know, it's not a good thing. No matter what he's done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like announcing that you have killed one of the ex-presidents of this country. You're in big trouble. Do you see? Yeah, no matter what they did, you are not, it is not your place to do such a thing. Hallelujah. But he said, tell it not. Don't talk about this. This is not something you must repeat. This is not a story you go around telling. You don't tell people about such a thing. And in our lives, we come across many tell it nots. Do you understand? And you should be able to recognize or identify a matter that is a tell it not. Do you understand? And you should be able to tell someone or advise someone that this is a tell it not. This is a tell it not. It's not a secret, but it's just let people find out. Do you understand? Let people find out however they find out. Just leave people alone to find out what they'll find out, if they ever find out. Do you understand? But this is not your tale. This is not, a gossip subject. This is not something to carry around. This is not something to tell people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And if the Lord's anointed has fallen, he was saying, if the Lord's anointed has fallen, that's not something you go around telling. Are you learning something from this? Hallelujah. Let me read Bishop's. He says, the scripture teaches us not to spread the stories of bad news of our brothers. Tell it not in Gath and publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Why must we not publish it? Because God does not want the Philistines to rejoice against the people of the Lord. God does not want the daughters of the uncircumcised to triumph over us. It is wrong to laugh at falling brothers. Tell your neighbor, it is wrong to laugh at falling brothers. It is wrong to laugh at falling brothers. Hallelujah. And sisters, of course. Amen. Those of you who are wondering, what about the sisters? That was for you. Hallelujah. But it is wrong to laugh at falling brothers. It is wrong to continually expose them and to ridicule them. He says, I once had a vision in which the Lord showed me the pride of pastors. He said, this was a vision of something that had happened in front of me. And the Lord said to me, watch this. This is pride and it has devastating effects. He says, there was a pastor who fell into sin. How many know that pastors are not rubber? Pastors are not made of rubber, plastic, or wood. Huh? Pastors are human beings. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right. So he said there was a pastor who fell into sin. He had many spiritual problems and also had numerous affairs with women in the church. He says, because of the scandal, several members of his church migrated and joined other churches. This broken pastor was left with very few members. That's not very strange, is it? Yeah, because church members don't accept that their pastors, indulge in certain things. They feel like, Pastor, some of these things, you got to leave them for us. You get it? Did I tell you how I met a guy in the TSA line who saw the flight attendant pass? And then as the flight attendant was passing, he said, wow, did you see that? You see, he was asking me if I saw the lady because she was wearing some really tight clothes and she just passed. You know how the flight attendants get to skip the line. So he and I were in the line and then this flight attendant just passed, you know, and the guy just turned straight to me and said, "What? Did you see that?" You know. So I said to him, "I'm a pastor. I don't look out for such things." Then he says to me, "You better not. You better not. You should leave that to us." Yeah. It's like, "Pastor, I'll share my offerings with you. I'll share everything with you. But I don't want you to touch my sins." Leave the sins to me. Right? So this pastor was in a situation and his church members left him. That's a pity, you know, that the church members whom he had been there for were not there for him when he was in some situation. Hallelujah. Right. So, but even worse, listen to the story. It says, many churches benefited from the influx of this pastor's members. That means his members sort of joined other churches, right? And he says, however, there was a church that was pastored by a group of confident and anointed ministers. One day, the confident pastors asked their congregation, "How many of you came from that broken pastor's church?" Several people lifted up their hands. One of the senior pastors made these migrant members stand up. You know, so how many of you were from that pastor's church? And then some people raised up their hand and he asked them to stand up. Right. Then he recounted the problems in the church of the broken pastor and told the members publicly they all needed to be cleansed from the sins and evils of the church they were coming from. Wow. You see, pointed out that they had been polluted. That's the members had been polluted and affected because of the sins of that broken pastor. He promised to organize cleaning and sanctification for them. In a flash, the Lord showed me the church of this righteous pastor divided and scattered. He said to me, "That is pride, to stand up, to rebuke and to ridicule a broken pastor in his church, you know, members, sorry, to ridicule a broken pastor and his church members publicly is to forget that you yourself are just a man. Indeed, I stood amazed at the vision as the vision played out over the years. The people who mocked at the broken pastor fell into the same sins and difficulties themselves. Watch out for people who mock and laugh at others when they are down and in difficulty. It is arrogance and overconfidence to make fun of people who have fallen into difficulty." Is this message coming through to you? He said, "I interacted with him and we exchanged some niceties, you know." This is another story. Okay, some years ago, I visited a wonderful ministry in a faraway land. This was a wonderful church with a large and growing congregation. The pastors of this church were young, successful, dynamic men. I visited the bookshop of this church. I was impressed by the books. I actually bought a book from that bookshop. By the grace, God's grace, I was able to meet the senior pastor of the church. I interacted with him and we exchanged some niceties in the corridor of the church. As we were about to part, we prayed and everyone asked that I say a prayer. I prayed powerfully from the depth of my heart. And when I said amen, I was immediately confronted by the pastors of that church. They asked me what I meant by praying for humility. Honestly, I had not been conscious of the fact that I was praying for humility. Actually, I had been studying about the virtues of humility and it was just bubbling in my heart. I actually did not think these pastors were proud. It did not even occur to me that they needed humility. I thought they were great pastors and I had prayed for what I thought was the best and the highest extra quality that a pastor could ever have, humility. What do you mean, they asked. Who told you we are proud? Do you think we need humility? Are you trying to tell us something? What do you mean by that? You just walk into a church and start praying that people should be humble. He thinks he's spiritual. Very funny. Praying for us to be humble. I was shocked and amazed as they rebuked and ridiculed me for praying for them to have humility. I was virtually walked out of that church. And I knew that my friendship with those wonderful pastors would not develop. But perhaps they should have received my prayers better than they did. There were storms on the way. The next time I heard of them, they were in prison for various crimes. So watch out for people who mock and laugh. Mocking and laughing at people is not a good sign. It speaks of arrogance and haughtiness. Wow. Is that powerful? Tell somebody, we don't laugh at people. Tell someone, we don't laugh at people, especially people in difficulty. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. See someone walking in a funny way, don't laugh at them. Don't laugh at them. See someone limping badly, don't laugh at them. You know, there's only a step between a regular walking person and a limping person. Just one step. One step. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't laugh at people. Don't look down on people. Jesus told the story of a guy who went to church. He said the guy was in the church and he was praying. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. He says, speak this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Can you see? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They looked down on others. Do you see? Yeah. And such people would laugh at others. You see, so here is the parable, verse 10. Verse 10 says, two men went up to the temple to pray. So you see, they are church people, right? The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Then, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You know, he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. You know, extortionists, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you two stand up, please? Okay. Can you imagine that we're having a prayer meeting and one of these two is telling the Lord that, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this girl. Can you imagine that? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. See, not all raising of hands is saying the right thing. So the person is in the church and is just going like, all she says is, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I'm not like this one. I mean, can you imagine that? But that's what these people were doing. This person went to church and he had the boldness to tell the Lord, thank you that I'm not like this person. You know, the reason why he was telling this story was to address those who felt they were better than others and who despised others in the church. And it had to be in the church because he was talking about church people. He was talking about, because he could have said two people were in the marketplace and they were just felt like praying, and then one of them, you know, then we would say that they are businessmen and so on. But this one, he said the setting is in the church. they went to the temple to pray. And then this is the prayer of one of them. You see, he says that I'm not even as this publican. Then verse 12 says, I fast twice in a week. How many of you fast twice in a week? No. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. So there's not a single time that apostle calls for tithers and I'm not in the front. 13, it says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, Lord, I'm bad and I know it. Please help me. Be merciful unto me. Do you see? Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man, the sinner, he said, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hallelujah. Amen. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But everyone who exalts himself, everyone who pushes himself up, everyone who makes himself big and great in the eyes of God will be abased. So don't be ashamed when you come to church. In fact, maybe because Jesus said this brings justification, you should make it your habit always to say to the Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. What do you think? Yeah, that's a better prayer than any other prayer that, you know, prayer from me, giving you ideas to pray about different topics from me, from Pastor Charles, from Pastor Munden. All these prayer topics are not as important as what Jesus said. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? How many are going to pray those kinds of prayers? You're going to pray that God will keep you humble and be merciful unto you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? All right. Then, number 12. It's just a quick one. Please be seated. Number 12, real quick. Declarations of personal greatness and achievements. Declarations of personal greatness and achievements. That's the next sign of what? Proud speaking. Okay? Declarations of personal greatness and achievements. All right, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28, right? It says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, right? Next verse, 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And then, next verse, the king spake and said, it's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Can you see that? Then verse 31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. It's finished. Wow. Wow. Sudden destruction. Can you see that? Because God resists the proud. Do you see? God resists the proud, and God gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you can see somebody who is just speaking about his own greatness. Do you see? His own greatness and announcing how great he is. He said, it's not verse 30. He said, it's not this Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Wow. So watch out for people who speak about their achievements as though their own hand and power has accomplished them. Right? Last week we were reading a verse that said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. And the Bible says, who makes you differ from another person? You know, God is the one who's giving you the gifts and the ability that you have, including your looks. What do you think? If you think you are pretty, and I hope you do, it came from God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It came from God. And you must always think God. Always think God. Always think God. When people throw God out of their language and throw God out of their minds, the Bible says God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Then suddenly, whatever they claim to make them wise starts to work in reverse. They start to indulge in foolishness. Do you understand? Yes, they've become so smart they are stupid. Yeah, they've become so smart they're stupid. It's not working anymore. Hallelujah. So it is important. Amen. He said, I once asked a woman if she believed in God. She said, I believe in myself. I work hard and I do not harm anyone. I believe in myself. There are a lot of people who think this way. There are a lot of people who think this way. Even sometimes to give to charity, there are a lot of people who feel, no, charity does not deserve anything from them. Yeah. What do you mean give to charity or give to the poor? So I work hard. I mean, they are sleeping. I'm working very hard. I get up every morning and I go to work. And I go to work. You know, what people don't understand is that before you take over, God has moved. Before you decide to go to work, God has raised you up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Before human beings do anything, God has already moved. Yeah. God has already moved. There's the story of someone who went to God and he was bragging and, you know, just telling God. He said, God, we're almost like you, you know. So we're almost like you. You created the earth and you created the oceans and the trees and so on. But if you look at us, you can see we're catching up. You know, we're also making different things. We're creating computers. You didn't make computers, God, you know. So then they decided to have a competition, you see. So God went to take some clay. They said they were going to make a human being, like a new human being. So God went, you know, and he took some clay and he started to, you know, shape it up into a human being. He was, and then the man also came to the side and he also got some of the clay and he was getting ready to make his own human being. And then God said, hold it. I mean, make your own clay first. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, yes. You see, recently I heard that, I heard that one of the guys in my house raised in my house. I heard that he had gone to brag somewhere that he can make chicken wings from scratch. Hey!
What's that?
You know. So my wife was telling me, that is true. I mean, the guy can make chicken wings from scratch. Wow. Then I said, you mean scratch as in he can lay the eggs? If you can't lay the egg, then you're not making chicken wings from scratch. From scratch is the egg. The egg. That's where you the scratch begins. Amen. So when you find somebody who says, you know, I believe in myself, I work hard, I do not harm anyone, I get up early in the morning and I go to work, you know, I work 16 hours in a day and I come back and I catch just a little sleep and I go back to work, you know, I work hard, and all these things you see, they didn't just fly in here, right? I worked hard and it's my own power and my own might. Maybe you did something, but God had done a whole lot before you took over to do anything. And even while you were doing it, he was sustaining you and keeping you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. I believe I was actually hearing the voice of the devil who has possessed millions of Europeans and caused them to cast out the memory and the knowledge of God. Watch out for the pride of the Western world. And we live in the Western world. And there's a lot of pride where we live. And we need to watch out for it. Do you understand? Yeah. Watch out for the pride of the Western world that has forsaken the reality of God. You will soon see the effect of this pride. He said, once I was buying some equipment for our church, and as I negotiated with the Jewish owner of the business, he rebuked me and said I was speaking in the wrong way. Why do you rebuke me? I asked. He said, you keep on saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to use this equipment for that, I will come here tomorrow, I will do this and that. He said to me, don't say I, say we. Then he explained, I is for God, and we is for human beings. Yeah. He said, I is for God, and we is for human beings. Do you see? Yeah. Because for everything we need to do, actually, human beings, you know, even if you take a job, for example, see, there's no one who earns a living from doing something for himself. Think about anything you call a job. It's something you have to do for someone who allows you to do it for them. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to say to our customers, thank you. Yeah, because without them, we wouldn't do it. I mean, if you're a nurse, you know, and you go to the hospital, or you're a doctor, and you go to the hospital, and you spend all day taking your own temperature and measuring your own blood pressure, you know, you just do that all day. Every few hours, you do it again for yourself. Nobody pays you. Do you get it? You need a sick person to agree, first of all, that they believe in your qualifications. Because you can also have qualifications no one believes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why people have to display them on the walls in their office. Yeah, because you can have all these qualifications and so what? I don't want you to take my temperature, and you just won't. When you hear someone say business is slow, what it means, other people are not allowing them. Other people are not choosing them. And when you are not choosing, business becomes slow. I mean, Tori, if you spend all day cooking, I mean, Tori is a fantastic chef. Yeah. You spend all day cooking from here to here, and you lay out a table, and when you finish, there's no one to eat it. And then you start eating it yourself from the left. That's if even Salom can eat. Can you see what I'm saying? So even when you run a restaurant and you cook, everybody goes hungry at some point in the day. Then they have a choice to make. Whether it's your food or this food, because the belly is not limitless. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, there's only so much it can take. So that little space is going to be filled with something. Which of all the hundreds of people who sell food is going to have that privilege of filling my belly? And if I choose you, you should be saying thank you to me. That's why you can't go around saying, I work so hard, you know, I wake up, I get to my restaurant and I start peeling and, you know, dicing and cooking and grating and doing all these things. Yes, maybe you did something, but it's we. If you become successful from that, it's you plus another person. Yeah. If you're a professor in the school and you show up in class and the students don't come, you are going to have to take the day off. The students can make the professor take the day off. Yeah. Because they didn't come. You can't stand in the class. That's why, you see, a professor can't be so wicked. You have to be reasonable. Do you get it? You have to be reasonable and merciful. Do you get it? Yes. And understand that the guys are trying. You get it? Yes. And be generous with the scores. Be generous with the grades. And be merciful. Because if these guys don't come, you have the day off. Yeah. And if you come back tomorrow and they don't come, you have the week off. You're going to have an early Thanksgiving if these guys don't come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So everyone needs to understand. The guy told Bishop, he said, that's not how a human being should talk. You shouldn't be saying, I. You know, he said, he continued, I am that I am is Jehovah. It is only God who can say, I will do this. I will go here and there. I took note of that rebuke and realized how true it was. Indeed, it was Lucifer who said, I will arise. I will ascend the throne. I will replace God. I will fight God. You will notice how Lucifer used the word I on 5 different occasions. Lucifer, full of himself and full of pride, was deluded into thinking that he could fight God who had created him. You know, yes. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13. You know. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. Can you see that? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Wow. Wow. It's amazing. He said, I have met lay pastors who have said in their hearts, what's the use of full-time ministry? After all, I have a bigger church than the full-time pastor. Again, these are all thoughts of arrogance. People who do not understand what they are doing and why they achieve what they achieve. Speak with great swelling words of pride. So watch out for people who do not understand that it is God's grace that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? How many realize it's God's grace that makes the difference? It's God's grace that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet as we pray. Stand to your feet as we pray. Stand to your feet as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes with me, everybody. Close your eyes. Just want us to say a quick prayer before we leave this afternoon. Just consider your life, everybody. Consider your life. Think about your life. Think about the things that are working. Even how you woke up this morning. 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 Really wasn't about your alarm clock. It is God who gave you life. even to hear that alarm clock ringing. You can set the loudest alarm clock by setting people and they wouldn't hear a thing, because God has not given them what He gave you, which is the chance to live another day. Today God has given you chance and God has given you breath. Why don't you say thank you to Him? Just thank Him and say, Lord, be merciful unto me. Forgive my proud speaking and my arrogant speeches. Yes. Speeches that tout my own greatness and that celebrates my achievements and the things that I feel I've been able to do, when in actual fact it is You who enabled me. It is You who did them, Lord. Yes. Show me mercy, Lord. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Jesus, thank You, Lord. Father, thank You again for Your blessing in the name of Jesus. As we close the service today, maybe you're here today, maybe someone invited you to church, or you came on your own, or have been here a couple of times, but you know in your heart that you're not saved, you're not born again, you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ in a serious way. Today God is reaching out to you. Maybe you're watching us online and God is reaching out to you and saying, you are My son, come home. He's calling you. God is calling you. God is offering you salvation. Jesus has stretched out His hand, reaching out to you. Don't turn that invitation down. Don't turn it down. Don't turn it down. You need God more than you know it. You need your sins to be forgiven. You need Jesus to be Lord of your life. If you're here like that today, I want to give you that opportunity. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? God bless you. Just keep your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're watching us online, just join us. Just raise up your right hand right where you are, because God is reaching out to you. God is reaching out to you today. Just keep your hand up. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity. It's your chance to be saved. Don't turn that opportunity down. Now, if your hand is up and you're serious about it, just walk up to me quietly while every eye is closed and I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Just walk up to me. Just come and stand right here with me. I want to pray with you. Just stand right here with me. Just face me. I'll pray with you. Just come on. Just come quickly and let's pray together. Your heart today. Anybody else wants to give your life to Jesus? Just come and join them.
Jesus, let Him have His way.
Thank you. Now I want everybody to join us as we say this prayer together, including those of you watching us online. Let's say this prayer. Those of you listening to the podcast, we can all say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that without You I'm nothing.
I know that without You I am nothing.
Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I do many bad things.
I acknowledge I do many bad things.
My actions,
my thoughts.
Lord Jesus, they all need help.
They all need help.
So Lord Jesus,
please come into my heart.
I accept You as my Lord.
I accept You as my Lord.
And my personal Savior.
And my personal Savior.
Forgive my sins, Jesus.
Please let Your blood wash me.
And let Your blood cleanse me.
Let Your blood cleanse me.
Make me a child of God.
Make me a child.
From today,
my new life in You begins.
Thank You, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for these ones who have boldly chosen You
who have chosen the side of the Lord. The Bible says, he that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and keep them and preserve them in the name of Jesus. Establish them, give them roots in Christ, and help them to know you. Reveal yourself to them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Here's a special book for you, and I want you to read it. Okay. At the end of the service, if you come to a table right here, someone will be here to meet with you and talk to you. God bless you. Give them a hand, everybody, as they go back to their seats. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to come before the Lord's table, and God bless you. God bless you. First Love Church and join the prophet Doug as he ministers communion. He's been gone for a couple of weeks and we want to receive a blessing. Amen. So let's go over and join them at the First Love Church and let's receive a communion together.
Shall now communion is another covenant. This is my covenant that I make with you. A new covenant in my blood. A new agreement in my blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that not what Jesus said? A new covenant. A new agreement. And which blood is being used? His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. So this new covenant brings all of us into a great blessing. Hallelujah. Take your bread.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal.
Hallelujah. Wow. God makes agreements with people. human beings. I wouldn't be surprised if God has an agreement with me. I wouldn't be surprised. I wish I could say, wow, I made this agreement with God. But I know there are things in my heart that are so resolute, I've decided to do them. There are already covenants and promises. And God knows the things you have promised to do that you will never go back on. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the covenant. Multiply your children in an unimaginable way. Bless everyone who is part of the covenant of Matthew 6:33. In this covenant, let all things be added. Thank you for the blood and thank you for the body. You have done more than enough on your side. Thank you that is our turn. To do what we have to do, to receive the blessings of the covenant. The body of Jesus Christ. Now the blood. How many know that Abraham was bleeding after the circumcision? Every time there's a covenant, there's pain and there's blood and there's life. Your life for the covenant. Father, let new life come into everyone here as we receive the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands. For your blessing. Father, I thank you for the good work that you have already begun. Lord, whatever agreement there is between us and you, let it be implemented, ratified, implemented. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings for those who serve you and who put you first. Thank you for unimaginable, unbelievable, incomprehensible blessings. Blessings for those who are part of the covenant. People who cannot change their minds. People who will not change their minds. They said it when they were young and they'll say it when they are old. They said it when they were young and they say it when they are in their middle age. Thank you for the agreements that are bringing the blessings. I give you praise and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at me, everybody. You know, agreements bring blessings. From the day that the promise is made and signed, things you never had before, you start to have them. May you receive things you never had before because of the blessings of the Lord on your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.